Good morning. Thank you, TJ. You went back through the door. TJ is one of our students, and when I say our students, I mean our students. He's been at the Academy schools since kindergarten, and now he's a freshman at Lodi Academy. Our schools exist in no small part because of the members of this church, and I am reminded of that over and over again. How many of you know what the strongest shape is? Now, I didn't know it was children's church, so I expected some children participation, because have you watched the show Who's Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? A triangle. Those that are in junior high learn that when they do the bridge building contest, they learn that triangles are going to get them the highest weight. And the reason that came to mind for me recently is that if you think of a triangle and you think of church, school, and home as the points on that triangle, that triangle is alive and well here in Lodi. As many of you know, I moved back to Lodi 5 years ago. And it wasn't, I love my parents, but they were not the primary reason. And when we were looking at schools, Andrew was 4 years old, and we were looking at schools. We looked in all the schools in our area, Sacramento, Roseville, Folsom, and none of them have what Lodi has. And that is that triangle that surrounds our children with church, home, and school. It is the strongest environment we could find for our kids. What we have here in Lodi is unique. It's special. And we recognized it every time we came to visit. We all know that parents have the most impact on a child's life. But those parents cannot do it alone. I truly believe it takes a village. And most of us want to do the very best for our kids. And for us, that meant selling our home and choosing to take on a commute so that we could be where our kids, what we felt was the very best environment for them. And this school is important. This campus is important. And the sacrifices that many people make are much more difficult. It means working overtime, it means taking extra jobs to cover the tuition, and it may even mean needing to ask for help. But we are all in. We believe in the value that our schools provide. We believe in the quality and benefits that our Christian focus adds to the academic and social experiences that our children are receiving in these schools. But all of this does not happen on its own. There are more than parents that are all in. For instance, there's a couple whose children are grown, they've moved away, they've had their own children, and started a life somewhere else. But this couple still volunteers at our schools, tutoring students, sitting on the school board, planning and working for the financial security of our schools, and volunteering even in the heat of the work bee. These people experienced what our school had to offer when their children were young. They believe in what it's doing now, and they value it enough to come and sacrifice their time and energy when they have absolutely no other reason other than they believe in it. They are all in. It is our goal to continue the work before us, to grow and to innovate. As technology changes, so must we, but at the center is our very greatest wish. And that is that what we provide for students is a life-changing experience, an experience that no parent would want their child to miss out on, one where attending Lodi Academy schools is the very easiest decision in town, a decision we're sacrificing for, and most importantly, one in which every student learns to trust and grow in their relationship with their Creator. This summer saw a lot of exterior improvements at our school. There were many, many projects that were completed this summer. There are many, many more projects that have begun, and there are more to come. Our teachers have been busy bringing in new opportunities for learning into their classroom, but it doesn't end here. We need you. We need your support through the sharing of your talents and of your prayers. The deacons are now going to pass out some cards that I've given out to them. These small cards hold a text, and they hold the focus of our school year for our campus, for the elementary school and for the academy, and that is love God, love people. All in. We are all in. And that is something that we are focusing our kids on, we're focusing our events on, and I implore you to please take these cards and put them in your wallet, put them in your purse, put them on your refrigerator, put them where you'll come across them every now and then. Put them on your monitor at work, and when you see this card, if you would take a moment and say a prayer for the students, for the staff, and for our campuses, that is something that is no small part, and we need your support. There are going to be more opportunities to volunteer. I'll be back with more information. But I would like to show you a quick video that is encompasses some of what happened this summer. The majority of this video was created for us by Rick Vickas, and we appreciate his help so much. And we look forward to more opportunities to work with you on behalf of our school. So, see you next time.
We're here today at Project Central, the first day of our school-based work bee, August 3 to 7, and it's a fantastic day. The weather is nice, the people have great attitudes, and we're out here serving Christ. We had a worship today that focused on Jesus saying that he's preparing a place for us in his Father's house. And so we, in turn, are preparing a place for him in his Father's school, here on the academy campus and the elementary campus. And like I said, we're off to a fantastic start. We have people from all of our churches, both campuses, staff and volunteers alike, the old, the young, and everyone in between working on projects like roofing projects, classroom projects, electrical projects, registration, cooking up lunches, and we'll be doing some painting and landscaping opportunities to make our school just a fantastic place to be in for our kids to encounter Jesus. I'd just like to say, first off, thank you to everybody who's here volunteering this week, and those of you who have had a lot of involvement, or even a little, a few hours at a time, you have been most valuable working for our Father God in our schools. Thank you very much. We're just so excited. This is great.
Live. another voice inside my mind. He comforts me and bids me live inside the love the Father gives. In your love I find release, a haven from my unbelief. Take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God.
On behalf of all of us at Lodi Academy here and at the elementary school, we want to thank you for all your help and hard work, the many hours with Project Central this week, getting our campus ready for your children, for our children. This year we want to make God first. We want to give Him our everything, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our body. Listen, also we'd like to thank you in a different way. Tim and I work together. We've done a lot of observing of the helpers this week. It is so cool to see everybody come out and demonstrate what self-sacrificing love looks like. Servant leadership is what we're seeing by former students, by church members. It is such a big help to have everybody here on campus this week, and we really appreciate it. May God bless you as you have blessed us with your work this week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God, to Thee.
You know, I don't know if you want to know what they handed out. They handed out these cool-looking things. Now, you don't hand out a toy to a child in the middle of church. This is really cool. It's got a little light on it, a little thank you, it flashes. It's got a compass. This side has a whistle. The only thing I can think about the entire time is I want to blow this whistle. What does it sound like? Is it loud enough? Will the kids hear it? How many want me to blow the whistle? All right, let's see. I hope it works. All right, now I know. Thank you very much. All right, thank you. There's a little kid in all of us, I hope. You know, the spiritual destiny of our children, we all know it's so huge. And right now I want to give you a test. Well, maybe not a test, maybe more of a survey. Maybe not a survey where you raise your hand, maybe not a test where you write, but a mental survey. A mental survey, assessment test, all educational words. If you haven't heard of reflective thinking, I'm going to read you some statements about what reflective thinking is, and every one of those statements have deep spiritual meanings. And if there's a science teacher out there who knows better about this than I do, do not tell everybody I'm not saying it right. Okay, so first of all, reflective thinking. Oh, the test. Oh, no, let's do the description first. Reflective thinking helps learners develop higher order thinking skills. Higher order thinking skills. Sounds spiritual. Relate new knowledge to prior knowledge. Abstract concepts to conceptual concrete terms. Apply specific strategies in new and novel ways. Also helps the reflective learner or thinker with their own thinking and learning strategies. So I got a question for you. Where is your child right now? Now you might think they're out there in children's church, but when I was a certain age, well, never mind. Where is your child right now? Where, and you, it doesn't matter how old you are, you have children. Where is your child going to be in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years? Where do you want them to be in 80 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years? Where is your child? Where, and then we heard it earlier, where is our children? Our children. It's really a huge thought. Something we need to always consider every second of every day. It's really big, especially for Tim in high school. Well, actually, kindergarten parents ask all kinds of questions. But anyway, and I mentioned that before. Parents want their kids to have the best. And it's all about career choice, how much money you can make. The media is about if you don't go do it this way, you don't do it that way, you're never going to have retirement. And that is the ultimate focus of a lot of things that are going on in and out of education. But for us, the ultimate focus is should and is so totally different. What does Jesus want with your child? What does he want your child today, tomorrow, the next day? Maybe the career that Jesus chose for your child is not what you did. What do they want? What if Jesus said, like his disciples, just follow me? What would that do to you as you're helping them with their career choice at John Hopkins? Those are scary thoughts that we all think about. The biggest and most important thing that all of us usually want is for our kids to meet Jesus. But not only do we want them to meet Jesus, we want them to choose Jesus. Not only do we want them to choose Jesus, we want them to follow Jesus. And then the next step comes. I read in the process of reading a book called Lead Like Jesus. It's not enough to love Jesus, to meet Jesus, to choose Jesus, to follow Jesus. We have to lead like Jesus. And if we're not leading like Jesus, we're not there yet. And I am not completely there yet. Thank goodness that Peter was in the Bible. So, and remember, you people who choose high schools, Jesus had the disciples for almost an entire high school time frame, 4 years. He lost one completely. Peter never looked like he was hearing what Jesus was preaching. And at the end of their graduation, they all ditched graduation and deserted him. It wasn't until later that those years really began to impact not just them, but the entire world. And Jesus, if he was a principal, his success was a disaster. Different thoughts for the same thing. There is a void in leadership today. If you read the educational journals, the human resource journals, they're looking for thinkers, not mere reflectors. Where have we heard that before? It's huge. Getting out of school with the top grades is not what the world is looking for. There's lots of research on that. They're looking for workers and thinkers and creative workers. Well, that's what schools are about, all schools. I heard a story a few years back. I'll go look at my watch really quick. About back east, there was some Adventist schools looking at how to get funds from local agencies. And one of the descriptions of those funds were you could use them at a Christian school, but you couldn't use them wherever Bible was taught or wherever, you know, there was the outreach in the ministry. So that this could be a parable, but I heard it. So they met, the government people came in and met, and they walked around campus to see where that place existed where God wasn't taught. And not one place could that principal tell them that God wasn't taught everywhere on campus. So there went the money, but it wasn't about the money. So whether it, you know, we have lots of things going on, computer labs, libraries, sports programs, coaches, Lego robotics, cooking club, Spanish class. You know, I've watched the coaches talk to the kids about Jesus. I think our students probably learn more from some of our volunteer parent coaches than they could be learning at church or in the classroom or at home. It all goes together. So we do want our kids to meet Jesus. We do want them to choose Jesus. We do want them to follow Jesus. We also want them to lead like Jesus. You know, you can do it without the church. There's scientific evidence. People can do things without their church. People can do things without their parents. There'll be people in heaven who never went to church. All we want to do is work with you to stack the deck. Now, I know that's a card term that none of you know what it means, but stacking the deck. Everything we do as a church, school, and home is to stack the deck so our kids have the best opportunity to lead like Jesus and meet Jesus. And in closing, in Acts, all the believers were together and had everything in common.
It struck me as Mr. Emerson handed me the microphone that raising our children is a lot like tag teaming it. And when you practice for a relay race, the practice is about not the speed you run, not doing your best. It's all about the handoff, isn't it? Trusting the person that is getting the baton is going to be where they need to be, and that the person handing off the baton is going to do it like practice so that you can have the least amount of pain in the transfer possible. I've been spending a lot of time doing reading this summer and doing research, part of it for my schoolwork. And I spent a decent amount of time in Value Genesis research. For those of you who are not familiar with Value Genesis research, it is a research study conducted by the Adventist Church, paid for by various funding opportunities, and led by both Adventists and non-Adventists alike. It takes a look at over 20 years of development, education, and measuring and extrapolating that data and trying to figure out what it means and how we apply it and answer it in our churches, our homes, and our schools. They surveyed more than 10,000 students, and the results of now the third Value Genesis research project show us that we have empirical evidence of the importance of all three aspects of that triangle. The influences have stayed consistent over those 20 years of research. And two very interesting generations, X and millennials. The top three influences of whether our kids choose to stay in the church and have a relationship with Jesus are still parents, church, and school. In order for our young people to be where we want them to be in heaven, we need to stack the deck. The same research tells us that it is important for any new believer and any child to connect with at least five meaningful connections in order to stay engaged in what we are doing in their future. I want you to know that from where we stand, coming out of staff meetings in which an incredible sweet spirit prevailed, and a time when visioning and coming up with a text wasn't just about let's put a stamp on it, but is this something we can all buy into and be all in for the future of our students? We take this very seriously. We believe that stacking the odds in the favor of our students means having a strong triangle of church, home, and school. And that if we can do that, we're already more than halfway to number five. Sergio, I so appreciated your sharing the quote from the Spirit of Prophecy that children are spiritual beings and they deserve every possible advantage that we can give them. As a mother, I want to give my child every possible advantage. The things that I desperately wanted that I never got. the education that I dreamed of, the opportunities to achieve that I see other people achieving around me. And then I am reminded by my devotions and by my readings that they could gain everything. But if we lose their souls, what have we done with that which God has entrusted us with? I went to look for that specific quote that I've heard several times that Sergio read to you, and I found something really interesting. In a manuscript, it says, "Show them that you are endeavoring to give them every advantage, that they may obtain a knowledge that will lead them to an understanding of God and His requirements. Plead with them to make the most of the opportunities granted to them in their school life." And further on in the same manuscript, it says, "From the home, the school, and the church, a holy influence is to go forth. The grace of Christ is to be received into the life and revealed in the character. I am committed to doing that for my children. I am committed to doing that for your children. And we as a school community are committed to doing that for our kids." That manuscript was particularly presented by Ellen White as an address to the Lodi School.
Good morning, church. Have you been blessed so far? I am the last of our mini sermonettes, for those of you who like to plan and are checking your clocks. My name is Tim Kubrock. I'm the principal at Lodi Academy. The first person you heard was Karen Canis, who is one of our newest staff members at Lodi Academy in elementary school to help us in our visioning, our marketing, and our recruiting for the years to come, hopefully. After Karen, you heard from Allie Emerson, the elementary school principal, and then you heard from our Bible teacher and chaplain, Janine Little, at the Academy. And now I get to kind of wrap up this education Sabbath. Thank you, Pastor Roy, and English Oaks Church for the focus on teachers and students, I want to add. TJ, wherever you went, we're blessed. I'm excited to have such a great, young, talented man, not just of talents, but of integrity and character. I've been getting to know him a little bit on the football field, but for the next 4 years, I look forward to his leadership and the rest of our students and all that they have to offer. When Allie asked, "Where is your child right now?" and he was, of course, talking about the long-term aspect of that, where do we want them to be? I wonder how many of you, like me, immediately had this urge to check Facebook, because my daughters are with my wife, and we're going to a celebration of birthday tonight and tomorrow, so I know where my daughters are because they had just flown in. When the baton was talked about being passed, it reminded me of something in my academy experience when my roommate in the class relays on picnic day, when my roommate stumbled and failed in the baton exchange and was shredded up with some track rash, I guess, not road rash, but shredded up for a few days in the failure of that baton pass. You saw some highlights. You saw our video from the Work Bee. This was the first week-long Work Bee we tried, August 3 to 7. Altogether, we had 66 different volunteers, including a lot of our current students, elementary students. That 66 did not include all the faculty and staff of both the Academy and the elementary school. So for a week, almost 100 of us spent preparing the schools physically. We ended with a prayer walk around the campus, praying for each of the areas and the staff. Jim Ginn was our fearless leader. Some of you know him. He was seen up on the roof in one of the pictures. Jim Ginn is 80 years old, and he has a heart for continuing to serve. There were many others who came to our work bee. When Pastor Tracy was talking, I just wanted to point out those loud noises in the background. Those were not gunshots. Those were work was being done, and large objects were being thrown into the dumpster at that time. We started our first day at the academy yesterday. The elementary school starts on Monday. So we're off and running. You've heard and gotten this little card, the concept of this text, Mark 12, 30 and 31. If you want to take a moment to look at the card or look at this text, allow me to help you remember this focus for our school year, this spiritual theme. If you go to Central Avenue and you're looking for the academy, when you arrive at 12:30, you have reached our address. And so Mark 12:30, if you know somebody named Mark, you can remember which gospel it's in. Our new business manager is named Mark Lockwood. So there you go, Mark 12:30. A scribe came and asked Jesus, he asked him, which is the first commandment or the greatest commandment? To which Jesus replied, Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The scribe later goes on to talk about how this is to love God and your neighbor is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices or any other works that we might participate in. So this has become our spiritual focus and our framework this year. All in. And I want to ask you for a moment what that term means to you. What does it mean to be all in? You heard a couple of card references and stacking the deck. And unfortunately, all in is another card reference. Usually when somebody goes all in, it's all or nothing. It's too bad that Christians aren't the ones who own that phrase that we're all in. Perhaps we'd make a bigger difference in our communities and in our world. So what does it mean to be all in? And what are the things that you are all in about? Be honest. Work? Is it a hobby? Is it Candy Crush? I can say that because I don't play it. My wife plays it, so I give her a hard time all the time. What are we all in about? Where we put more time into, perhaps, and we even do our families or our time with God. If you ask a little child how to spell time, and you're a parent, how to spell time, how to spell love, excuse me, is time, T-I-M-E. Invest time in your children, your family. So turn for a minute and talk to somebody beside you. Oh, this is church. I know, just do it, okay, humor me. Talk to somebody. What does it mean to be all in? And you might want to tell them some things that are important to you that you like to think of yourself as all in about or you want to be all in about. 2 minutes. Go. this idea of being all in is not just a catchphrase for us this year. We want more. We want this year to be the best year ever in the history of our schools. One of the greatest Christian missionaries was Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China, and he knew what it meant to be all in. Now, he was raised in a Christian environment, but he walked away from it. When he was 17, the age of some of our students, he had a rich conversion experience. God spoke to his heart. He went to China, and he served 51 years of his 73 years of his lifetime. Hudson Taylor. Interestingly enough, he had an older brother. There were two boys in the Taylor family. His older brother wanted to do something big, wanted to be remembered in life, he was aiming for Parliament. And today, if you read his brother's tombstone, it says that he was the brother of Hudson Taylor, and that's his claim to fame, because Hudson Taylor was all in for God. Because of him, over 800 missionaries went to China. Over 125 schools were founded. Tens of thousands of people met Jesus and were baptized. He knew what it meant to be all in. And even his legacy today, his great-grandson, James Hudson Taylor IV, is a missionary involved in China and has just recently married a Chinese wife, the first blood relative that's Chinese, into Hudson Taylor's all in. I find an interesting expression in church, and if you talk to churches and pastors, numbers are important. Well, how many members is that church? Just like schools, how many students do you have? What did you budget for? How many members are in church? But then, unfortunately, there's a second question that often comes out, and that is, how many of them are active members? That's kind of a sad conversation to have, but think about that. Are you an active member? And if so, in what things are we active about? In what ways are we all in for our church? The Bible says in a song we used to sing when I was in junior camp, they'll know we're Christians by our love to each other, to our God, and to our community. This is a new school year beginning, a new cycle of life that many of us have repeated year after year, just like the seasons as you go through a new school year. New expectations, new eagerness, new hopes of the students, high hopes. I would encourage any involved in this yearly life cycle to get off on the right foot and to establish good habits right now. Good study habits, good sleep habits, good responsibility habits right now. Don't wait till later in the year to do that. Next Sabbath, Pastor Little will be baptizing one of her students, one of our students in her church. And this is why we do what we do. And that celebration that Pastor Little is going to be participating in next Sabbath, I thank God for her and for godly teachers like her, pastors who are involved in the lives of their students. And reminded me that it was my sophomore year in academy when I threw the towel, so to speak, all in into God's corner. And my Bible teacher the next morning had a way of knowing these things and these struggles because of his close connection, I think, to our God. And he put his arm around me and said, "Are you ready to take that bath yet?" That was his way of asking. And sure enough, I was. So, in closing, we know that we live in amazingly difficult times. When Jesus' disciples asked him, "What about your second coming? What will the signs be?" In Matthew 24, he talked about, as it was in the days of Noah, before the flood, men and women, people eating, drinking, taking in marriage, living, going about their lives. And it doesn't take a lot of looking around us in our culture, in our society, in our government, in our schools, to see how actively God has been removed from our culture and taken out of any concept, any worldview. And I appreciated, Sergio, what he said about taking your worldview and God into the workplace, regardless of the consequences. At our schools, I want you to know that we want to restore God to his rightful position. Instead of removing him from the curriculum in any public mention, we want him embedded in each and every subject. He is the creator. He's in every scientific experiment and mathematical equation. And in our origins, in the intelligent design versus the evolution theory. In music, we sing praises to him. Our students praise him with their music. We want that for them and more. In all classes, in health class, where our bodies are his temple, and we want to live for him. In all subjects, in our relationships, we want God to be lifted up. We have teachers who have daily worship in every single one of their classes. You are not going to find that in a public school setting or in very many schools. And in Bible class, it's more than just we teach a Bible class at the academy, and that's why we're different. If that's it, that is woefully inadequate. So I want you to know we're all in. We need each other. We need this triangle. In Bible class this year, there's going to be a new curriculum unrolled for the first time in over 20 years. It was the early 90s in the academy. It's not quite ready for the elementary to be rolled out yet, but they're working on it. So in the early 90s was the last revision of the Bible curriculum in the 4 years of academy. So in closing my part, we're going to show you a very short video from the North American Division about the new Bible series called Encounters. It's interactive. It's experiential. And they do have a textbook that they'll be using often. That textbook is the Bible.
Why does Adventist education exist? There are lots of great reasons, but the fundamental answer to the question of why Adventist education exists is to further the kingdom of God by winning more souls for Christ. It's for this reason that we should do everything in our power to make sure that this happens. That's why the North American Division is adopting a recognized catalyst for fostering a thriving relationship with Christ for young people. The Encounter Bible curriculum is an all-new, yet proven approach for young people to explore the big questions, the important questions, questions that are crucial to the development of a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ. This is a curriculum that's about eternity, about everyday choices that will transform students, teachers, friends, and parents alike into disciples of Christ. One teacher had this to say.
It's been really exciting to see students be engaged in class. They want to participate. I don't have to worry about having a silent classroom. Often it's quite, I wouldn't say loud, but yes, loud. but in a good way, because they just are excited to discuss. And so that's exciting as a teacher, to see them really engaged in the material. And because it's the Bible, they're also really getting to know Jesus on a personal level. They're wanting to know him for themselves. They're wanting to know how to build a relationship that's lasting. And so Encounter has really provided opportunities for that.
In many ways, the Encounter series is providing a lot of relationship building. It's providing a lot of critical thinking, and I'd like to just say this. It has the end goal in mind, eternal life. And so with whatever is happening in the class, the Encounter series says, we want our children to make it to the kingdom of God. And so every aspect has been intentional to ensure that.
The whole purpose of Adventist education is the redemption of our children. And we are devoted to giving them a strong biblical foundation. But at the same time, we're even more committed to help them build their relationship with Jesus Christ through the Adventist message.
I want to say a special thank you to Tim and Janine and Karen and Allie for helping us to understand what that campus is all about. We're talking about kingdom work. And this campus and that campus are holy ground campuses. Those are holy ground places. And so understand that these people are dedicated. They're all in. They're given to God and having God use them to make an eternal difference in the lives of our children. And church, we're behind that. We're all in too. In homes, families, this is what church is all about, is supporting, pouring into, investing in. I saw the results of this triangle happen in my boys' life at their school. Children thrive when we love them and invest in them. I want to ask you to take that card out, and as we close today, let's read together the passage that's on the back. Love God and love people. Are you ready? Let's go. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Let us pray. Oh God, we understand the sovereignty and the power of you. You are all in for us. And in response to that all in love to save every single person on the face of this earth, we want to join hands with you. We want to join in the work of your kingdom work. And we want to be all in for you. And it begins in our home. It begins on our campuses, in our school, in this church. May we be all in for you, God. So bless us with your power. We cannot do this without your Holy Spirit. So fill us, I pray. Bless this school as it begins, this new school year, the faculty and the teachers, and those that are out in the public as well. Bless them too. And may their light shine for the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.